This is for you, Kings fans, wherever you may be. All the frustration and disappointment of the past is gone. The 45-year drought is over. The Los Angeles Kings are indeed the Kings of the National Hockey League. They are the 2012 Stanley Cup champions.
What's going on, guys? Welcome to the final post-game live here on Dime Dropper for the 2023-24 NBA regular season, the last one. Before we get started, you already know the drill. Make sure to subscribe on YouTube and hit the notification bell so you know every single time I post a video. The playoffs are on the horizon. It is the best time of the year, so I need you guys to hit the notification bell. Every single one of you, all 21 of you in here, and all you guys that are watching after this has already been finished, hit the notification bell so you know every single time I post a video. That way you don't miss anything, because we're going to be talking about every single game in the playoffs. Not one stone will be left unturned. As you remember from last year and the year before, I try to cover everything from the play-in all the way to the last game of the NBA season in the finals. So there's no better place to get all the coverage on that right here on Dime Dropper, your home for all things NBA, LA sports, and LA basketball. And I am live from Los Angeles. One last time, you already know the drill. Super chats are turned on if you want to drop a dollar or a dime. Any donation is appreciated. It's this important time of the year. Any help to my equipment, to my Dime Dropper budget, that is appreciated right there as well. We'll be checking comments at the end. And yeah, make sure you follow your boy on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Dime Dropper Pod. And you can find this episode on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And for if you're a Clipper fan or want to just support your boy, Locked On Clippers and the Locked On Podcast Network, 5 days a week, talking all things Clippers. This live is not going to be a long one. This episode is not going to be a long one. It is going to be talking about the Clippers-Suns game briefly. This was game number 80 for your boys. And the biggest news of the night, and that is that our first playoff matchup is confirmed. The only thing that's left to confirm is who hosts the series, but it is looking like us. Clippers and Mavs, part 3. We'll be talking about it right now, Dime Dropper fan, but let's start out by talking about the Phoenix Suns game. Now, this one, much more important for the Phoenix Suns to try to secure their place as high as they can go in the standings, potentially get that 6th seed, or at the very least, get that 7th seed and host a one play-in game in which if they win, they're locked into playing either the Minnesota Timberwolves or the Oklahoma City Thunder. And we're going to be talking about the Denver Nuggets beating the Timberwolves as well at the end. But this game, the Clippers went full-on load management. Now, let's just begin with the guys that I'm not worried about resting. Paul George, Russell Westbrook, Ivica Zubac, Norm Powell. None of those guys played in this game, and I'm okay with it completely. Now, James Harden misses his second straight game with that foot injury. That doesn't really concern me too much, but it is a little suspect. And then Kawhi Leonard is the obvious one, the elephant in the room. He hasn't played for now 6 straight games. We got 2 games left, and we're basically guaranteed our matchup in the first round. And it's going to be a doozy. It's going to be a team that Kawhi Leonard has enjoyed tons of success against in the playoffs, in those series. But don't we want to see our best player play a little bit before the playoffs? Because let's say he doesn't play any of these final 2 games. He's going to have not played an NBA game in like over 3 weeks. Before the highest intensity basketball you're going to play in a year, I don't know if that's right. I think we should just play him for a half. Just take him out at halftime. You know, just sit him at halftime just to get him some reps. He hasn't played in a week or so. That just makes me think, was it just extended load management? Or was, you know, is he actually injured? I don't know. I think he's fine. Ty Lue said before the game that as of now, there's no concern about him missing the playoffs or missing any playoff games. So that makes me think it's just extended load management. But we want to see, I just want to see him before the playoff starts just so I know that he's okay. Because the PTSD with Kawhi Leonard, you know, and not knowing his injury status and whatnot as a Clipper fan, it scares me. It definitely scares me a lot. But this game was kind of one we could just enjoy. It was just a fun game. And the Phoenix Suns, I think my biggest takeaway from this game is that they are just terrible. Like, they could not be more mediocre. Now you're finally getting to see Beal, Booker, and KD together on the court. And it's exactly everything I thought it would be before the season. Redundant. I thought they'd be a little more potent scoring-wise, but they operate from the same areas. Mid-range pull-up guys. Don't get 2 feet in the paint often. Don't get to the rim very often. On the older side, outside of Booker. Not very many point-of-attack defenders. You're making Booker and KD and Beal defend way too much. No good big man play. Mediocre depth. They don't even like the coach. You know, you're already hearing rumors that Frank Vogel is going to be gone after this year unless they make the finals. Like, it's a completely dysfunctional situation. It puts a huge smile on my face. Huge, because I fucking hate the Buns. And it's just not a good look for Kevin Durant to me. And I know he's been balling this year, but like Phoenix Suns fans, they're of course not going to be mad at KD. I think they'd be, I don't really know what Phoenix Suns fans feel, because definitely frustration. They've had injuries and that really has hurt them. They'd absolutely, I think, be flirting with the six. I don't even know if they'd be around the Mavs or the Clippers record, but they would, let's say they would have won at least 3 or 4 more games than they did. I think it had Beal played at least 60 games. Let's see how many games he can possibly play to end this season. Bradley Beal, and I'm guessing they haven't registered his game tonight yet on ESPN, so he's played 50 games. Let's say he plays 50. Let's just say he plays 54 games. Had he played 60 games, I think you can make an argument that the Phoenix Suns win a couple more of those. But yeah, overall, this team is not impressive. You know, it's not impressive at all. It has first round exit written all over it. And I say it looks bad for Kevin Durant because, like, what has he done since leaving Golden State? Like, the situations that he's been in, it sounds like dysfunction. It's mediocrity for the expectation. I mean, we'll see how he plays in the playoffs, but this is going to need Bradley Beal to average over 20 and Booker and KD to average 25 plus, which they've been doing in the regular season. And then we'll see how it goes across the board. But those points need to be impactful. They need to be imposing their will on the game. It feels like they get buckets easily, and it's a quiet 25, a quiet 30, but I just don't feel that threatened. I know he lost this game, but we'll see who they play in the first round. It's not going to be us, obviously. We have much bigger fish to fry. But Bones Highland, this was the story of the game, was Bones Highland. He got to perform. He got to play the entire second half, and boy, did he perform. Put on a show for those in attendance. 43 minutes for Bones and a career-high 37 points. And 15 of those came in the first quarter. And by the way, the Phoenix Suns actually made a change. I was talking about it with my guy, Swavey Keese, that's going to be coming on a preview. Whatever series the Suns end up getting into, if they end up getting in a series, he will be previewing it. Local fan from Phoenix, even older than me. He was suggesting that, and I think it's a logical suggestion, that the Suns should be starting Royce O'Neal instead of Grayson Allen to guard the point of attack, and then Grayson Allen can come off the bench. Even though Grayson Allen is leading the league in three-point percentage, and that's been probably the biggest hesitancy from Frank Vogel, that lineup with Beal, Nurkic, KD, and Booker, you don't need more offensive help. You need some defensive help. And Royce O'Neal started in this game, but it didn't really mean that much. I thought we still got pretty good shots throughout the game. Both teams were switching 1 through 4 to start. Nurk was in drop coverage for them. Plumlee was in drop coverage for us. And of course, Plumlee and Tice played in this game without Zubats. But the first quarter started out with the Suns missing everything again in the first 6 minutes. And one thing I realized about them, they had a huge criticism in the beginning of the season that they're not going to get up enough threes because KD, Booker, Beal, these guys are all mid-range snipers, and they wouldn't get enough threes up in today's NBA for the math game. So what you're starting to see now, and you can clearly see it in this game, was them shooting the three ball and trying to get a lot more shots up. 17 three-point attempts in the first quarter, and as the quarter went on, Books started to make shots. But Bones Highland became the first Clipper with 15 points and 4 dimes in the first quarter since CP3 in 2017. He was wheeling and dealing, getting to the basket, making plays, knocking down the three ball. He was in his bag. You know how he could be. But it just was so funny to me that it was neck and neck the whole way. Got some good stuff out of Mason Plumlee. Kobe Brown got some solid minutes and showed some two-way potential in this game. There was one possession where he slid his feet and stood right in front of Bradley Beal, locked him up one-on-one. Another possession in the first half where he got the ball, attacked the closeout, and went all the way against Royce O'Neal. So Kobe Brown's showing some solid stuff. High IQ rookie, obviously played multiple years in college at Mizzou. So cool to see him play. And then Brandon Boston. I mean, what a solid performance by him. Defensively, he was taking the assignment of guarding Devin Booker a lot. And of course, there was a lot of switching going on. And the defensive resistance on the Clippers side, I mean, it wasn't much. Every time they got to go at Mason Plumlee, they went at him in the pick and roll, and Mason was in drop coverage. Felt like Beal, Booker, and KD were just walking into mid-ranges, and eventually they started making them. And it's funny because KD had 24 points on 10 for 21 shooting, Beal had 26 points on 9 for 17 shooting, and Devin Booker had 37 points on 13 for 24 shooting. And they won by 16 points because their best players that are max guys ended up pulling away from our Brandon Boston and Bones Highland-led team running out of gas and only scoring 15 points in the fourth. I mean, Bones Highland's playing 43 minutes. He's not used to giving that much of himself in a game, having that many minutes on the ball. I mean, he ran out of gas, and so did Brandon Boston, who had some good looks in the fourth quarter and didn't get him to go, but you started to see the athleticism of Brandon, his ability to attack closeouts, knock down the open shot. And it's funny because the Clippers benchwarmers lineup, this third-string lineup, they've actually been terrible this year. If you watch the latest episode of Basketball on Figueroa, and you should go watch that with me and Edwin, we talked about the Lakers and Clippers third unit guys, when the game is over, having like a horrendous net rating and stuff like that. Brandon Boston, I've been saying it all year, and you can even say this about Bones Highland, although Bones Highland, he would have been inconsistent. Had we had him as our backup point guard like I wanted pre-Harden trade, he would have been inconsistent. He wouldn't have had games like this where he's scoring 37, but he would have had games where he's scoring 20 and getting hot and making a huge impact on the game. Then he would have had other games where he was probably awful. But that's a lot of backup point guards. I've still never heard a team say or a fan base say, you know what, we didn't win the championship because our backup point guard spot wasn't good enough. I've heard people say we need to upgrade the backup point guard, but I've never heard people say that that's the first reason that they don't win a championship. So Bones Highland, he's still got a lot of potential, and he's showing it in this game. Some of the finishes around the basket, those little jellies, that three-pointer he had to end the first half on the little tween pullback, similar to James Harden, to be honest, but for a righty player, he was impressive. Put on a show, Brandon Boston, looking good. And I've been saying it about Brandon Boston. When he gets actual rotation minutes, he performs pretty well. He does. But the Suns pulled away. You know, they were able to make shots at the end. KD, D-Book, Bradley Beal. And we ran out of gas. They outscored us 32-15 in the fourth to win it 124-108. But I got to say, P.J. Tucker, by the way, two threes, or one long two and then another three in this fourth quarter. He had two threes in the game, actually. He was 2 for 2 from three, 4 for 5 from the field, 10 points in 23 minutes. So solid game for him. Going to be interesting to see how much he plays against Dallas. I personally don't think that's a matchup for him. I don't think we're going to need P.J. Tucker in that one, but I could be wrong. Mason Plumlee, I mean, actually had a pretty decent game. He's food defensively. He does some wild things. That spin he had and then passed to Xavier Moon for a floater was hilarious. But double-double for him, 4 assists, 12 and 12, 4 for 9 from the field. And then Bones Highland, a career night. 37 points, 4 boards, 9 assists, 3 steals. Did have 4 turnovers, though, but was 15 for 29 from the field, 6 for 12 from 3, and had a shameless attempt at trying to get 40 at the end when the game was in the refrigerator. But it was so funny. The Suns were trying to not let him get 40. They were blocking him in the corner. And Brandon Boston was trying to just feed him the ball. It was so hilarious. But Amir Coffey had some good moments in this game, but overall didn't shoot that well. Played 37 minutes. Had 11 points and 5 boards on 4 for 13 shooting and 2 for 6 from 3. Terrence Mann played just 8 minutes. Got an and 1, but was 1 for 3 from the field and 0 for 1 from 3. And then you had Kobe Brown play 28 minutes, have 4 points. He was a minus 30. Jesus Christ. Minus 30. Wow, attendance says it was a sellout. Looked like a lot of empty seats, so probably a lot of people bought the ticket but did not go, or didn't buy tickets off of StubHub or something, or real resale websites, but says the sellout was registered. Every ticket was sold. Brandon Boston played 40 minutes. That might be a career high. I don't know. 23 points, 7 boards, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block on 10 for 24 shooting and 2 for 9 from 3. We didn't shoot that well from three in this game. 46% from the field and 33% from deep. They shot 48% from the field and 36% from three. Now, the Suns move on to 47-33 with two games left. They will not be a 50-win team this year. And you know what? With Beal's injuries, I don't think that's a crazy thing. We are, at best, going to be able to tie the 2016 Clippers for the fourth best record in Clipper history with 53-29. And I think we will. But if we finish with 52-30, let's say, that would be the fifth best record in Clipper history. Right now, we are tied for fifth. So 124-108 is the final from the Staples Center. I was obviously not at the game tonight. I'll be missing 12 games overall this season. 28-29 will be the final two vlogs of the season for Clipper games. But I've got a special vlog planned tomorrow. I'm going to be attending Kings and Flames at the Staples Center. My first ever NHL LA Kings vlog. I cannot wait for that. If you have never been to a hockey game, it is an amazing experience. You guys got to check it out. I haven't been able to like have my Kings fandom show really on this channel like that. So tune into that one, please. I would really appreciate it. I'm going to be taking my friend to his first hockey game. So that's going to be really cool to see his reactions to things. And we're in a playoff push as well. We're trying to, you know, this is the last year we have the Clippers, Kings, and Lakers all at Staples Center. We need all three of them in the arena at once. Although, last year we got screwed with the scheduling, and we might get screwed again. But I don't give a shit. Get the Kings in there. You know what? Actually, no. Best scenario is Kings make it, Clippers make it, Lakers lose in the play-in. So that way we had the Lakers play some postseason ball, but they didn't make it. And it would be hilarious. LeBron not making the playoffs. Oh, my God. It'd be so funny. So funny. But is it good for Dime Dropper? Got to think economics here. The views go down when there's no Lakers. Clippers and Lakers being involved. If you look at my views from last season, we didn't have any lives with 1,000-plus views after the Lakers got eliminated. No views. Or no 1,000-view videos. So hopefully, can you guys change that, by the way? Are you guys going to be able to give me 1,000 views on videos that, on a Celtics-Nuggets finals vlog? Or not vlog, post-game? I'd hope so, but anyway. Hopefully, it's Clippers someone. Now, let's talk about the matchup. The obvious elephant in the room. Dallas. I'm not feeling that great, guys. Not about the fact that we're not going to win this series, but look at this route. Dallas. I mean, if we win this series, it's going to be seven. I see no world in which we win in six. They are going to be tough. They're playing some of the best basketball of any team right now. Let's just start with the blatantly obvious. Luka Doncic has a vendetta against us. He wants to beat us so badly. So badly. I genuinely don't know if any of our stars, any of our big four, are as hungry to beat Dallas as he is to beat us. He is probably, in my rankings preseason, the best player in this series. However, the last time we played them, I stand on it strong, Kawhi was the best player in the series. Now, everyone's going to say, no, he wasn't. He just had more help. He should not get penalized just because he has more help. Your argument for Luka is the stats that he puts up because he had to handle the ball all the time. But it is our game plan to let Luka, it was our game plan, to let Luka beat us and then run out of gas hopefully at the end because we had a better team than him. I am not failing to acknowledge that we had a better team than Luka. But Kawhi Leonard, the reason why I say he was the best player in the series is not just because he won, because when it push came to shove, and first of all, in 2020, he was just better. That's not even debatable. The only reason it was close was because Paul George was playing like ass. And Luka was playing great. 2021 was a better example because we actually, you know, got to travel. That was more of a real basketball experience. But when push came to shove in games six and seven, Kawhi showed that he could guard Luka and limit him. And Luka was getting attacked by Kawhi in pick and roll.
That ultimately stood out to me. And it's nothing against Luka. He was in his third year. Kawhi Leonard's in his prime. He should be better. So I think Kawhi was better. And he had the better team. But the fact that Luka got it to 7 with no co-star, what does that say about how good he was? And how good he is? And he's even better now. He's averaging 34 points a game. So we're playing a better version of Luka. Now let's add to the fact that he has actual help now. Jalen Brunson was not the Jalen Brunson that we know him as now. We played him off the floor. Luka Doncic has Kyrie Irving on his team now. Kyrie Irving. This is an NBA champion as a second option. This is one of the best guard scorers we have ever seen play the game that can score from everywhere on the floor. But the last two times we've seen Kyrie Irving finish a postseason healthy, he has been awful. He was terrible in that Bucks series against Boston. That was pre-dime dropper when I was a junior in college. And I was living in Massachusetts, by the way. He shat the bed completely and basically quit on the team. And then 2022, we covered every game here on Dime Dropper. You could check what I was saying. He was ass every game after game one. And part of it is because it's that small guard thing that I always say. It's so hard when you have a small guard be your first option. But even when he's your second option, this is the thing about Kyrie. In the past, let's just put the Bucks series and the Celtics series as an example. When he's not been making his shots, he wasn't helping at all. He wasn't good defensively. He's not creating for others because he's just basically, he has a longer defender on him and he's settling for contested mid-ranges and contested jumpers. And when you have a 6'7", 6'8 wing on you, making you staying in front, making you take contested jumpers, it's really all about his shot making on that particular night. And the Celtics were able to limit him immensely. Now, will he shoot that poorly again for a third straight time? Will he shoot that poorly again now that he's got Luka Doncic on his team, the best offensive player he's had since LeBron? I don't think so. You also add to the fact that who do we have to guard him? We're probably going to put Terrence on him, but does that mean that Paul or Kawhi is starting games guarding Luka? Because I don't know if that's ideal. That's not what we've been doing all season. We've been doing Terrence Mann on the best player, whoever it is on the other side, if they're a ball handler. That's what we've been doing. Now, I have to go back to see the last time we beat Dallas, but the thing about that Dallas is it's not this Dallas. The trades of Daniel Gafford and PJ Washington, which is funny to mention those names like they're such needle movers, but they really have solidified this Dallas team into being a much more well-rounded team, a team that can actually play well on both ends of the floor and can make up for bad Luka shooting games, which in the past, when Luka didn't shoot well, they had nothing. Now they have Kyrie Irving, and they have more size and athleticism. And the thing about it is, everyone on their team is kind of built to play up and down, except for Luka. Kyrie Irving loves that transition pull-up three. PJ Washington's young. Derek Lively is a hell of an athlete that can get up and down the floor and rim run. Daniel Gafford is a great athlete as well, a good lob threat. If you're a Russell Westbrook fan, you'll remember how well he and Russ linked up in Washington. So now they've got two lob threat bigs. They already have the offensive firepower with Luka and Kyrie. And then you've got a guy like Tim Hardaway Jr. who has been in a shooting slump coming off the bench that could get hot, as we remember from 2021. But the thing is, I still don't consider their defense elite. I know the numbers say that they've been elite since the trade. But when you play regular season teams, and I've seen the schedule for the Mavs, they have had some easy games where they're whooping on teams. They played the Warriors without Steph. They played the Jazz twice. I saw it in this recent stretch. They played San Antonio multiple times. And as good as Houston is, they're not a very good offensive team. So some of these wins, you're playing against some teams that are not that nice offensively like that. So despite the fact that PJ Washington has added a lot to them, Daniel Gafford will protect the rim more than they've ever had before with the likes of Dwight Powell and whatnot. I still don't know if they're a great defensive team. Now, let's look at the matchups on their side defensively. What do they have to deal with? Well, Kawhi Leonard. Okay, let's just start with the storylines, right? I talked about Luka's vendetta. Kyrie Irving has his own storyline here. He hasn't really done much significant. Many significant things in the playoffs since he's left LeBron. And you know he hears that. He's active on social media. He hears the noise. He's probably going to be determined to do something here. And the thing that makes me nervous is that this is the most functional situation he has had since probably 2017 or maybe 2018. And he's been defending this year. Now, here's the thing. As far as the Clippers, we've beaten these guys two times. But this time, they are a real team. Now, it's even. Now, we got Dallas fans saying, bring them on. We want to beat the shit out of them. So, there's no excuse now, no more for Luka. No more excuses for Luka. He has another star. He has the team that he likes. He has the team that you Mavs fans are confident in. So, if he doesn't win this time, we own him. We own him if he doesn't win. Because everybody says Luka owns us. Yet we're the ones that are undefeated against him. The Dallas Mavericks are the only franchise in NBA history that have lost the Clippers multiple times in the playoffs. The only one. If we beat you three times, we really own the Mavs. And Kawhi is really the Mavs owner, not Mark Cuban. You're going to be seeing Kawhi in your nightmares if we beat him three times. And I think it would show a lot if we can beat the Mavs three times. I know this is a different Mavs team, but it's beating Luka Doncic three times. And now he's got help. It would be epic. It'd be crazy for the LA Clippers, my team, to have a stranglehold on any organization like that. To have that kind of dominance over any other kind of organization would just be insane. Especially Dallas, who I grew up with them being like a consistent playoff team with Dirk. But let's look at it from our side, right? This is all the pressure in the world. We're championship or bust. Dallas is, they didn't even make the play-in last year. So they were just like, let's get back to the playoffs. Let's start to see that we're good again. Maybe let's win a series. Things are looking up for Dallas. PJ Washington has his best days ahead. Gafford, Luka, all the same. Kyrie's in his prime. We got to win now. We built this team to win a championship this year. We got to win this series. There's much more pressure on us. Much more. There is some pressure on Luka in the sense that he's finally got help. A lot on Kyrie to perform. But for the Clippers, they got to win this. Let's start with the first thing. Playoff Kawhi. Playoff Kawhi. We're this close. I think he's okay, but I'm getting nervous that he hasn't played. He might be healthy for a playoff series again. And it's against Dallas. Poor Dallas fans. Kawhi hasn't even played that many playoff series as a Clipper, but you've played like him every time he's there. Oh my God. And he owned Dorian Finney-Smith and everyone that they threw at him. Now, they're going to try to throw P.J. Washington at him. Derrick Jones, we saw that in the regular season. That didn't work. He's too strong. P.J. Washington is ideally the perfect size to guard Kawhi. The tricky part about this matchup is that we haven't played the new Mavs. But here's the thing. We'll see about P.J. Washington. He might be the right size. He might be playing good defense, which he is right now. But Kawhi Leonard in the playoffs is a different ballgame. He's got counters to your counters. He's got pull-ups going both ways. He can post up. He can hit the three ball. He can go nuclear. I'm so excited to potentially have Kawhi Leonard in front of a sold-out Clipper playoff crowd for the first time like I envisioned when we got him. You're going to see. Let's see what kind of bodies they throw on Kawhi, Dallas, which guys they allow to switch onto him. I'll be very surprised. Now, I'm going to be interested to see if Ty Lue persists Jesus, with the lineup switch of or the rotation of Kawhi playing the entire first and third quarter, sitting the beginning of the second and fourth, and then coming in. He's been doing that all season, so we'll see if he continues to do so. Probably will. I think we play nine guys. I don't know which big guy we go with. I think Tice. I think he's going to be more able to potentially late switch onto Luka. I think Plumlee would just be food completely. I think we should have Tice play with Amir Coffey, Russell Westbrook, and Norm off the bench. That's it. Nine deep. Now, Paul George. This postseason could not be bigger for Paul George. This series could not be bigger. Because the first time we played in the playoffs with Paul George against Dallas, he was a joke. That was the Podcast P, Pandemic P, not Podcast P, Pandemic P, Playoff P, all that shit. He was awful. Second time, he was awesome. He had his redemption arc. He broke the curse for us. Hasn't had a playoff game in 3 years. This is it. He's had a very good regular season overall. He's shot career highs in some categories. He's played 73 games as a Clipper. 73. It's just so amazing to say. Averaging 23 points a game and healthy. He needs to perform. He needs to be great. I'm talking like 25 points a game. I think Kawhi needs to average like 30 and we get 25 from PG. Derrick Jones will be guarding him a lot. Primary defender is going to be Derrick Jones guarding Paul. And then PJ Washington guarding Kawhi. They'll definitely switch that action if we put them in the action. But the main thing we need from Paul George is to be aggressive. Get to the basket. Don't settle. Get a little mid-post P going, especially if they switch Kyrie onto him. And then there's the James Harden factor. So this series is really made for James Harden to be good. And it's really funny that we're playing Dallas after that Brian Damaris guy had that rant on Harden before things started getting going. James Harden, in that starting lineup, is going to be guarded by Kyrie Irving a lot. Now, here's the thing. Clipper fans are thinking, oh my God, that's food. Barbecue chicken. That's the advantage we have. Mavs fans are thinking, Kyrie's been good defensively this year. When Kyrie has guarded James Harden since the Brooklyn scenario, because we all know that James Harden, part of the reason he left was because of the Kyrie Irving situation. It was obvious. It's going to be interesting to see how Kyrie guards him. James should cook him, though. It's Kyrie Irving. He's never been known for defense. If James Harden cannot create advantages in the pick and roll there, I don't know what to say. Daniel Gafford is a solid rim protector, but James Harden should be coming off those screens scratch-free. I hope we get good shots out of that. This needs to be a James Harden series. And let me just tell you this. James Harden hasn't lost a first-round series since 2015-16, and Kawhi Leonard hasn't lost a first-round series that he's been healthy in since 2014-15 to us. So our odds are pretty good, but this is a whole different Dallas team, and can you beat Luka three times in a row? One thing you're going to see from Dallas is they're going to switch Daniel Gafford onto, what's his name? Kawhi. I guarantee it. PJ Washington's guarding Kawhi. We put Gafford in the action. He will switch. And they're going to make PJ guard Zoo. I promise you. Because they think that he can stay in front of him, which he might be able to. Remember, I've only said three or four times this season that Kawhi Leonard actually got by somebody facing up from the top of the key. Only like four times. He hasn't been getting by guys like that. James Harden, the one thing that's really good for him that he's been hitting his three ball a little more going into the playoffs. But he hasn't been playing the best basketball the last 2 months. He hasn't looked fresh. Hopefully this rest does him well, though. This is a huge series for James Harden. I mean, we traded for him, so this is it. Spotlight's on, brother. I think he can do well in the first round, though. I really do. Now, there's the bench factor. They've got Tim Hardaway Jr. We've got the true sixth man of the year, Norman Powell, who I think is going to be huge. Then, and it would be nice to see him, you know, build his Clipper legacy with some big playoff games, because he's fallen into that sixth man of the year breeding ground territory with Lou and Jamal and Trez, even, who I am not as bitter towards anymore. But one thing it's going to be interesting for us is the obvious, how to guard Luka, because I don't know what we're going to do to start. My boy DJ Primal says in the comments that we should have Kawhi Leonard guard him from start to finish. I just don't believe that is feasible. I really don't. Because I just don't think the coaching staff will allow that. I don't think the coaching staff will allow that for him to guard Luka all game. And here's the thing. They're just going to ask for a screen to get him off. So who, if you're the Mavericks, do you attack in the pick and roll? I say if I'm Dallas, every time down I do this when I'm trying to do Luka pick and roll. If Terrence Mann's guarding Luka, fine. Just bring up Gafford. Let's put Zoo and Terrence in the pick and roll. But what I would really try to do is put Harden in the action. Put Harden in the action over and over. Make him guard. Because he dies on every screen. So that's what I would do if I were them. And it'll be really interesting to see what matchups we switch. If I'm the Clippers, you know what? If Paul George is going to guard Kyrie Irving, I think Terrence might be better to guard Kyrie. So, oh, man. It might need to be a Paul George kind of defensive series. Show what kind of two-way player you are. This is why we got Harden and Kawhi. So, Paul George, guard Luka, primary defender. Terrence on Kyrie. And then we let Kawhi switch on to Luka. We let Terrence switch on to Luka. We do not let Zoo or Harden switch on to Luka. 2021, we let Zubats switch on to Luka for the first two games. And we didn't make any adjustment. Actually, we did. Late in the game, we started blitzing and he killed us. That's the dilemma with Luka. When you don't blitz, when you don't switch with him, you're putting two on the ball or drop coverage. Luka torches drop coverage. So we've been playing drop all season, and that's why Zoo gets played off the floor or got played off the floor last time against them. And we don't have as good of small ball personnel. I looked it up. We haven't even had any lineup that has played even 40 minutes or more small ball this season for us. No lineup has played 40 or more minutes that's a small ball lineup. So he hasn't really done that as much, Ty Lue. Last season was such a traumatizing experience with no real solid center, backup center for the first half of the season. So this season we were committed to playing one. The second Plumlee went down, we got Tice. So we just don't have as good of that small ball personnel this time around without guys like Nico, Marcus Morris, Rocco. So Zubats being a factor in this series is imperative. I mean, this has been Zoo's best season. So he needs to be able to be an impact player like he was in 2020 against these guys. If he gets played off the floor, we are a much worse team because we have no interior defense. And our backup bigs, like, they're decent, but they're not guys that need to be playing big minutes in the playoffs. And that's the advantage that Dallas has, is their bigs. Derek Lively is better than anything we have off the bench. Whose bench is stronger, though? You know, Dante Exum's had a hell of a season. I don't know, but we have Russell Westbrook coming off our bench. And I think he's going to need to have a big series. We've seen him, though, do a good job on Luka and then go at him when he played. That game I went to, that's a good vlog. It was one of our better performances early in the season. But again, that's pre-PJ Washington and Daniel Gafford Mavs. Russ was bullying Luka. But we'll see how that goes. The thing is, how much time will Russ get? You know? That is what concerns me. How married are we going to be to James Harden? Because if his shot's not falling or he's not creating good looks in the pick and roll, I don't know. He needs to let the catch and shoot three fly. That goes for Terrence Mann as well. But I think Terrence Mann's rounding into playoff form. I think he's going to be good. Watch. But one thing I've noticed about him, though, he's much better if we get out and run. Get out in transition. Get out on the break. Harden slows things down. Dallas is playing the fastest pace this season that they have played in the Luka era. Part of that's their bigs. So we'll see if we can survive in drop coverage against Luka. That means the point of attack defender needs to be doing a great job. If we throw two on the ball, now we're putting them in rotation. But I'm going to say this. We're putting our defense in rotation and making them swing the ball. I'll say this, though. When Kyrie is out, I wouldn't mind taking the ball out of Luka's hands and just making them shoot open threes to other guys. Just to get the ball out of his hands. He's going to be torching us at points. But the main thing is for us, attack Luka and Kyrie as well on the other end. So much to talk about. I basically just went over like everything. So like, how much more do you guys need to preview the series? My prediction is Clippers in seven. If I was rooting for another team, if I was a neutral fan, I don't know what I would pick. It would really depend on how much I've watched of those two teams. Obviously, I've watched every game we've played this season. My all-time first. I'm going to hit all 82 games for the first time in my life. Hallelujah. First time in my life, I'm going to watch all 82 games. Amazing. But what a series this is going to be, guys. And this is why four seeds don't win chips, by the way. This is why I said we're not winning the championship if we don't get a top three seed. And when I saw we weren't going to get it, I said we're not going to win. We're not winning it. But we could win this series, and I would love to. I'm going to be at every single home game, so you're going to get all the vlogs right here, and we'll be live after every single road game. But I think it's going the distance. I think we're going to win because we've got playoff Kawhi. However, I don't know. Can we beat Luka three times in a row? I'll say this. My head's telling me that we're going to lose this time. But my heart's telling me we're winning in seven. And I'm going to be there. And you know one thing that's interesting about this series? They've played each other twice, but there's never been a sold-out Clipper crowd. Luka ain't seen this before. Clipper Nation, bring your voice, bring your wallet, buy your tickets. It's up. Dallas, part three. We want the smoke. I think I'm just going to clip this part out, this video, this part of the video out, and it's just going to be a Clippers Mavs preview because that's all you need to know. I mean, although I didn't get too stat heavy, so maybe I'll do another preview. Might as well. And there's going to be more stuff on Locked On Clippers too, so I might just do the preview tomorrow. Just when I come home from work, just release it at night. But anyway, the age-old proverb. Oh, that's the Locked On Clippers. Now, that's the end of this live. Oh, the Denver Nuggets got the number one seed. Yeah, they beat the Timberwolves. Here's what I got to say about that. The Denver Nuggets are the Denver Nuggets. You know, they are the best team in the league. They're the best team in the league. They're the best team in the West. They take the lead. They're not actually clinched, but all they got to do is beat the Spurs and the Grizzlies, and they're the number one seed. If they somehow blow that, I don't know. I don't think they will. But if they're the number one seed, look, that's why four seeds don't win chips. It's only fitting that they are the number one seed because they're the best team. Minnesota being a number one seed, it would be a little, I mean, we've seen that before. It's a little fraudulent. But you know what? It would, I don't know. It would be like the Clippers get out of jail for being the four seed. And I don't know if they deserve that, to be honest. That's it for me in this one, guys. The last live of the season. I want to thank you guys so much again for another season of lives, our most successful year yet. I want to thank James Harden for absolutely increasing the popularity of these lives. Russell Westbrook and his fan base as well. And all my Clipper fans, you know, Laker fans as well. Thank you so much for another season. It was amazing. 100 plus people in the lives, so much more this year. I thank you guys all so much for your support. It really means a lot. I don't just do, you know, I have to do Locked On Clippers after this. You know, I work hard. You know, I go do these lives, stay up till 2 in the morning, don't get much sleep at all. And it, you know, does affect my personal life and produces the things that I can do the next day. But I go all out for you guys. I try to be there for the fans and be a voice and have everything logged for myself as well. So appreciate you guys. Love you, LA. Please check out my vlog on Friday and my video on Thursday night previewing the Clippers-Mavs series. I'm going to go all in on it because I got to. And then we've got, yeah, the vlog on Friday. Kings, Flames, taking my friend to his first hockey game. Check that out. And check out Basketball on Figueroa with Edwin this week. And now to the live subscribers waiting patiently in the chat. Super chats are turned on if you want to drop a dollar or a dime. Peace.